Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hi, I'm your host, Angela Loeb, and welcome to today's program, Chaos, How to Embrace It and Use It to Your Advantage. Today I'm going to take you on a short journey through chaos and back. Okay, so maybe not exactly that, but that does sound cool, doesn't it? They say that thoughts lead to habits, which lead to actions, and our actions are what make our life look like it does. And so if our thoughts lead to our life's events, thoughts into reality, then when we look at it and it looks like a bunch of chaos, how can that give us a sense of our potential? How can we know that there's a meaning and purpose to what's going on in our life? By looking at patterns in the chaos. So my plan today is to give you some insights about chaos, what it is, what we can do about it. It's inevitable, it's connected with change, and how can you embrace it and work with it? Naturally, I'm going to get a little cerebral with you here. There is some science stuff we'll talk about, and I want to discuss some practical things and help you, you know, get a perspective shift. So it's not just going to be about the science. It's going to be about some practical things you can do. First of all, though, I want to talk about luck, because I don't believe you can talk about chaos without talking about luck. So I want to throw it down right here, right away. I want to throw down the gauntlet and tell you that I don't believe there is such a thing as luck. I don't believe in luck. Well, I mean, other than the fictitious construct that humankind has made, you know, made it real, it comes across as real, like Lady Luck. We collectively believe it, so Lady Luck seems very real. She's a real live force in people's lives, and they rely on it. However, to me, believing in luck as a force or an entity is no different than when the ancient Greeks believed that the sun rose and set because a dude named Helios drove a chariot pulling the sun behind him across the sky. Now, you might think I'm saying this because I believe in science. Of course I do. We just don't know what we don't know, at least not yet. Much like we didn't know at first that the earth moves in a rotation that makes it appear like the sun is rising and falling, luck and synchronicity and coincidence can be explained. We just don't have the explanation until we can get it scientifically. Or you might think that maybe there's no such thing as luck because I believe in a spiritual force, or rather a collective mind force that transcends the physical, the biological dimension of our consciousness. You might think that I would say this force is like it's like luck that can't be explained. It might be called divine will, like in Thy Will Be Done. You'd be right. And you'd be wrong. I mean, I don't think that these explanations are mutually exclusive, and I respect that they can all be correct simultaneously. I believe that science and God can be in the equation. And you'd be right if I said you'd be right if you guessed this, that I stand with scientists who support intelligent design. And this isn't because I'm religious. I'm not. But I'm not an atheist either. Interestingly, though, there are eminent atheist scientists who have acknowledged directly and indirectly that there is such a thing as intelligent design. One, Wolfgang Pauli, he's the winner of the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1945, went so far as to criticize some of the assertions made by Darwinists. He seemed annoyed that they say chance had something to do with evolution. So apparently he didn't believe in luck either. I found out about Pauli's view in a fascinating article online by Vincent Torley. In Torley's article, I also learned about Abdus Salam, who won the Nobel Prize. He shared the Nobel Prize win in physics in 1979. And he was a Muslim who believed in, quote, intelligently guided evolution, end quote. And he even cited something from the Quran during his acceptance speech for the award in 1979. Max Planck, one of our greatest minds in physics, especially known for his role in quantum physics, said, quote, all matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force which brings the particles of an atom to vibration and holds this minute solar system of the atom together. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind, end quote. Now, my sister Gina has 3 degrees in both soft and hard sciences. She's also a devout, non-denominational Christ follower with the most active and powerful faith in divine will that I've ever seen. She and I have often talked about it, and she's convinced me that there's no such thing as luck. I've gone so far as now to say, you know, when I'm talking to people and, you know, waving goodbye to them, I don't say good luck. I prefer to say be well. And she stopped wishing people good luck altogether as well. She views that when we go through life, everything we go through, she sees it as a blessing, including the bad stuff. She sees that as mixed blessings. And her favorite thing to say in parting instead of good luck is be in your blessing. So since you already are blessed, just be in it. I love that because when she says be in your blessing, she encourages me to notice what's good in my life, even if it doesn't seem so good at the time. So the chaos is a blessing. Anyway, we both agree that, you know, what happens in life can certainly appear to be happening by chance. But after all the things I've been through, she's been through, the good and the bad, we are now able to look back and we can connect the dots. With hindsight, we can easily see that none of it was good luck or bad luck. One thing led to another, a choice was made at one time, and it resulted in a later experience. And that leads me to, well, it's time to geek out a little. Let's talk about the scientific theory of chaos. And by the way, I'm not sure why we call it chaos theory, because to me it's not a theory at all. It's a fact proven by mathematics. But anyway, if you're not familiar with the concept, I have some explanations, some things I found on the internet. They're in the resource section. You'll see those resource links as well. And the first one is from Wikipedia, which says that, quote, chaos theory is a field of study in mathematics with applications in several disciplines, including meteorology, physics, engineering, economics, biology, and philosophy, end quote. The site also says, quote, chaos, as a definition, chaos, when the present determines the future, but the approximate present does not approximately determine the future. That's not confusing enough. So when you visit the Wikipedia page, by the way, on chaos theory, be sure to scroll down to the bottom and you can see all the numerous applications that you can put chaos theory on. And you'll also see there's an obvious controversy about this scientific concept, so you get to read about that a little bit too. And here's an explanation. It's a little sciencey as well, but it's really helpful. It's an explanation from fractalfoundation.org, and they say chaos is the science of surprises, of the nonlinear and the unpredictable. It teaches us to expect the unexpected. I think that's important that they say this. It teaches us to expect the unexpected. While most traditional science deals with supposedly predictable phenomena like gravity, electricity, or chemical reactions, chaos theory deals with nonlinear things that are effectively impossible to predict or control, like turbulence, weather, the stock market, our brain states, and so on. These phenomena are often described by fractal mathematics, which captures the infinite complexity of nature. Many natural objects exhibit fractal properties, including landscapes, clouds, trees, organs, rivers, etc., and many of the systems in which we live exhibit complex chaotic behavior. And so that's from fractalfoundation.org. So here's how the story goes, according to Wikipedia. Edward Lorenz, an American mathematician and meteorologist, weatherman, he built a mathematical model of the way air moves around in the atmosphere. And as Lorenz studied the weather patterns, he began to realize that they didn't always change as predicted. Minute variations in the initial values of variables in his 12-variable computer weather model, this is around 1960, would result in grossly divergent weather patterns. And the site goes on to say, this sensitive dependence on initial conditions came to be known as the butterfly effect. It also meant that weather predictions from more than about a week out are generally fairly inaccurate. So if you're watching the weather and you're seeing thunderstorms predicted next week, that is very likely going to change because chaos theory shows us that. Now, when Lorenz died in 2008, the New York Times ran a piece on him telling the story of how Lorenz accidentally figured all this out in 1961. He was running simulations of weather using a simple computer model, and one day he wanted to repeat one of the simulations for a longer period of time. But instead of repeating the whole simulation, he started the second run in the middle, typing in numbers from the first run for the initial conditions. So if you just follow me here, he says the article goes on to say the computer program was the same. So the weather patterns of the second run should have exactly followed those of the first. Instead of the two weather trajectories quickly diverged, they went on a separate path. And at first he thought the computer must be malfunctioning, but then he went back in and he looked at his numbers and he realized that the computer had stored the numbers to an accuracy of 6 decimal places, while, to save space, the printout of the results shortened the numbers to 3 decimal places. So when typing in the new conditions, Dr. Lorenz had entered the rounded-off numbers, and even in the small discrepancy of less than 0.1%, it completely changed the end result. Now, when he realized this, he realized that it meant perfect weather prediction was a fantasy. There's no way you're going to be able to do this, because a perfect forecast would require you not only to have a perfect model, it would also require perfect knowledge of the wind, the temperature, the humidity, and other conditions everywhere around the world at one moment in time. And even a small discrepancy could lead to a completely different weather. The article also points out that Lorenz wasn't the only one to stumble onto chaos, and apparently they say that at the end of the 19th century, there was this mathematician named Henri Poincaré who showed that the gravitational dance of as few as 3 heavenly bodies was hopelessly complex to calculate, even though the underlying equations of motion seemed simple. But Poincaré's findings were quickly forgotten through the first 3 quarters of the 20th century, is how the article points it out. So it's like, it's not this new thing. We understand that there's these chaotic systems that it's just way too vast the information is to capture it. But the huge significance of the discovery by Lorenz was summed up really well in this MIT Technology Review article, and they said the laws that Isaac Newton published in 1687 had suggested a tidally predictable mechanical system, the clockwork universe. And similarly, the French mathematician Pierre-Simon Laplace asserted in his 1814 volume of Philosophical Essay on Probabilities that if we knew everything about the universe in its current state, then nothing would be uncertain and the future, as the past, would be present to our eyes. So the term the butterfly effect came out of all of this. And Lorenz, he theorized that the small change could have a large consequence and suggested that the flap of a butterfly wing might ultimately cause a tornado someplace else, in one part of the planet into another part of the planet. So if you're into stuff like this, so you really want to dive more deeply into the science, but you want a more simplified explanation because you don't have a physics degree, and I'm not even pretending to know about physics to understand all this, but in a layman's term, if you want to check out some videos on chaos theory, I've provided a couple under the resource links. There's a really good one, Chaos Theory, and then there's one from BBC, Butterfly, The Secret Life of Chaos. That's a really good one, too, and that'll give you some really great insights to it. Now, my simplified and, of course, unscientific view of chaos theory is that it's a way to explain the principle of cause and effect when it happens in a nonlinear way or in such complex systems like a person's lifetime that our human mind can't grasp without the aid of mathematics and technology or hindsight. In other words, what looks like chaos isn't really, that the vast number of possible permutations that only make sense at a level of understanding that with our small capacity brains and our finite dimensional perspective, we lack that. We can't. I mean, it can be understood, but it's not by chance and it's not luck. And these complex, incomprehensible cause and effect possibilities, they occur. It's just what looks like luck because we lack the understanding is not luck. Now, because of this, I choose to live my life in a way that there's no such thing as luck, because I know that my small brain is incapable of seeing the entire complex system of life and creation as compared to the collective intelligent brain, if you'd like to call it that. So I don't chalk it up to luck that something happened in the way it did just because it happened in the way that I couldn't have predicted. I know that I can't possibly see, know, and understand how changes I make and that others make will impact me later. Just because I don't see all the interconnections doesn't mean there aren't any. Chaos proves that there are. It reminds me of that famous line from Hamlet, "There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy." Yep, that's right. There are more things that I can dream up, and thank goodness. If the only way that it could be done is the way I do it, yikes, that would be a limited life indeed. And hey, even if you're not with me here and you'd rather just call it luck, let's just talk about this from the perspective of change. The fact is that change, which is another way to look at chaos, is inevitable. The universe and all its bodies, atoms, and molecules, they're in constant motion. Just as our physical bodies change, our lives have to change. Change, and therefore chaos, it's inevitable. And don't you think it would just be easier if you embraced it? Go with the flow, as they say? So if we were to achieve our greatest potential, then we can't hold ourselves or others down. We have to embrace chaos as the change agent it is and work with it. Dr. Helen Harkness, who wrote a book called Capitalizing on Career Chaos, she has some great observations about chaos theory and change, and she points to this inevitability of change. I like how she talks about it and in the book, and then she also says, "It's clear to me now that all the uncertainty, chaos, and triggering events I experience force me to cultivate and release my creativity, resilience, commitment, and indeed the cornerstones of my resourcefulness and strength." So she found meaning in that chaos. That's awesome. So let's take a break because this is some big brain work that we've just a lot of concepts to absorb here. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about what you can do about all this. Hey, I can't just leave it out there at the esoteric philosophical level. I mean, that's fun to talk about and everything and look at the research and all that. But what can you do about it? And that's the best part as far as I'm concerned. How do we take what we know and use it in our everyday life to make a real difference in shining our brightest and unleashing our potential? If we can use chaos and harness it to unleash our potential, that would be awesome. So I want to talk about that. Enjoy this little break, and as soon as we come back, we'll talk about that. Be back with you in a couple of minutes. I love that. That was Inner City Blues by Jeff Harvey and Chris Martin of Purple Planet. Thanks for that, guys. That was awesome. Okay, we've been talking about the nature of chaos and the science of chaos and how there's really no such thing as chaos. I mean, there is, but there isn't. It's just our perception that it's there's something we're seeing and living through doesn't make, you know, it doesn't have a purpose or it doesn't have a meaning and it doesn't make sense. Of course it does. Now, I want to help you with a couple of ideas. I want to give you some ways to recognize what chaos might mean, how to scratch the surface a little so you can be more confident that what you're doing and what you're going through, it's especially if it's some sort of chaotic change, it does make sense even if you can't see why yet. So here's what I do. I look at the event and I ask questions about it. I see what emerges as possible answers and why. So looking at past events, I mean, that's the best way to do it, right, is to really kind of look at the past and see the patterns, and then to me that gives confidence that, well, if in the past I can see the patterns, that means what I'm going through now is going to lead to what makes sense in the future, if you can tie those things together. So if you want to look at a larger, more macro view, then I would suggest making a list of significant events. A warning, though, usually the most painful events are going to be the ones that stand out. recently I was watching the movie Boyhood, and there's this scene where the father is talking to the boy's sister about something she remembered from when she was 6 years old, about him having a big fight with their mother. And the father asked, "Don't you remember when we did this fun thing and that fun thing together?" And she said, "No." And, you know, that's how memory works, doesn't it? Painful episodes stand out. So write them down on your list. You can also list milestone achievements or firsts, such as the first time a poem was published in the school's literary magazine, the first kiss, first rated R movie you went to see, you know, whatever. I mean, just write those things down. And you might see answers emerging from these experiences naturally, or you might need to coax them out. So write them down, the experiences or the events, and then use finishing statements like, "I have learned blank from blank," you can say what the statement is, or what the experience was, or "I have gained blank from such and such experience," or how about this one, "It meant this to me, you know, when blank, 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 and it meant this to so-and-so. If someone else was, you know, involved in it, they were meaningful." You know, it's meaningful because maybe somebody else was impacted by it as well. I did something this morning where I went through, and my daughter, who's about to turn 22, I was thinking back, what was I doing when I was 22? Oh, my goodness. You know, and I was trying to think about the chaos of my life and looking at the decisions she's making versus the decisions I was making. And it was very interesting to see the comparable things and also how the threads of it tied back even to my parents, who when they were 22, they had already had their second child. And when I was 22, I was just getting married. And it's just amazing when you think back generationally, you look at the chaos of things, what emerges. So sometimes you look at it, what I've learned from it, what I've gained from it, or maybe it meant this to me and it meant that to so-and-so and it meant this, and this is how the patterns come together. You could also make a visual map, like a mind map of the significant events of your life journey, and you can find the connections visually if you want to make sense of the chaos. Dr. Catherine Brooks, the author of You Majored in What? Mapping Out Your, the subtitle is Mapping Out Your Path from Chaos to Career. She uses what she calls wise wandering maps to make sense of career chaos, and she works with college students and has them take out a big piece of paper and actually visually draw on the paper different things that had happened in their life. And kind of like a timeline, but they call it wise wandering. Now, the most important thing I want to say out of this whole program today is that anytime you go through something challenging in your life, anytime you experience sorrow, tragedy, and disappointment, it's an opportunity to raise your consciousness up a notch. Like what my sister was talking about, right, is that even the negative things you go through, every experience that you go through, she calls it a blessing because of her perspective in life. I call it an opportunity for you to look at the patterns that show up continuously. When I'm working with people in their career, I talk to them about the successes, the success stories they've had professionally. And I say, you know, what we want to do is we can look at the results of it. You helped save the company money, or you made great impact on a team member, or a customer is now a lifetime customer. Those are great because those are results. And, of course, when you're out there going through an interviewing process or you're thinking about a promotion, you want to promote yourself to get a promotion. Those are the things you need to talk about. But true, but go look at the actions. Look through, dig through, and not just look at the results, but look at the actions you took. Those are the things that you do that you can't help yourself. Those are the way, that's the way you show up in life. And to me, you can look at the chaos, the chaotic situation of a particular event and look through it to find what you need in it. And that is, to me, making sense of it and finding the potential in it. So you have a choice during any time you go through in life, especially the tough times. It's when your ability to exercise free will really is at its greatest, when you're going through those tough times. You can choose to observe what's happening inside of you. That's one of the things you have a choice to do while this awful or unpleasant something is happening outside of you. You can choose to see that you have complete control over your response to the circumstances. There's another place that you have control within the chaos. You can choose to think of yourself as a victim. So you have that choice. You can choose that one too if you want. you can remain stuck in the point of view that life is happening to you and you're powerless. I hope you won't choose that, but you might. I mean, that's choice too. But you know what? You are not powerless. And life is, it isn't happening to you. You are happening to life. All the greatest teachers throughout history taught that each seemingly chaotic twist and turn in your life is golden because every challenge gives you the chance to shift your awareness and even your direction if necessary. They taught that if you can use the triggering event to awaken who you really are and reconnect to your life's purpose, to take the reins and drive your life. You can be a victim of circumstances, or you can be powerful with the ability to choose the new approach. Chaos and change helps you choose. That's how you embrace it. That's how you work with it to your advantage. You use chaos to understand, hey, this is inevitable. What does it mean? What can I do with this? And when you choose, you're seizing the moment. So what would you choose? What do you choose? All right. So that's it for today. That's all I have for you on this topic. I hope you'll have gained some insight. A lot of this was pretty cerebral, and I hope that you also picked up some ideas about how to practically change the way you look at what seems like chaos but isn't, to go from it's happening to me and I don't have any control over it perspective to thinking, hey, here, let me embrace it, let me go with it, see how I can work with it and make sense of how this is happening or why this is happening, because I know there's more here than what meets the eye. All right, before I leave you, I want to invite you to join me on the first Sunday in June, that's June 7, for my next live broadcast. I'm going to talk about work as a spiritual practice. This is for all of you, and there are a lot of you, I know, because you come to me for help in your career transitions, and this is what you want. You want to have more meaning in your work. And we're going to do a paradigm shift around all of that. That in looking at work as a spiritual practice. We're going to look at that in the next program. Again, that's on June 7. In the meantime, thanks so much for tuning in for this program today on chaos, how to embrace it and use it to your advantage. I want to thank Doom Dance and Purple Planet for our music, and be sure to check out the links on the webpage for these musicians as well as to see the other resources about today's topic. I've put a lot in there for you. If you're interested in my books, courses, other programs, you can check me out and all my links at angelaloeb.com. That's angelaloeb.com. You can send me an email through the site if you'd like to. I'd love to hear from you, so please do. And as always, I welcome you to join me every first and third Sunday here on Be Radiant Radio, where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to. Until next time, I want you to be well and shine on.